Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Galbert, a very early Middle Ages saint who was a knight and has a very remarkable story. His brother was murdered by one of his enemies, and it happened that Saint Galbert was riding with his retinue through the town, and he saw the murderer of his brother, and he managed to trap the murderer in a little lane that had a dead end. And when he came upon the man and was ready to kill him, the man prostrated himself on the ground in the form of a cross and begged for mercy. So Saint Galbert granted him mercy and left, and then came upon a little church and went in to pray because he felt inspired by God and by the act of mercy that he had performed. And when he knelt down before the crucifix, our Lord came off the cross and embraced him, nodded to him, and he was converted from his former ways, and eventually, without too much delay, entered the Benedictine order. And in the Benedictine order, he sought perfection with a great deal of zeal. And it was during a particular time when simony, the sin of selling the sacraments and sacramentals, was quite prevalent. And it was being committed in his own monastery by his own abbot and by the bishop of the diocese. And he would have none of it. He wouldn't compromise. So he left the monastery and eventually founded his own rather strict, austere version of the Benedictine form of life. And he lived and then died in the odor of sanctity. The story about his conversion, his granting of mercy to his enemy, the murderer of his brother, and the subsequent miracle of the crucifix, has been captured in art by a Pre-Raphaelite painter by the name of Edward Burns Jones, who had the habit of doing a lot of painting of Arthurian themes, knightly themes, but most specifically the legends of King Arthur. But this one painting he has of a knight, the merciful knight, coming to a wayside shrine and kneeling down at the shrine and taking off his helmet. And our Lord, his hands have come off of the cross, the nails have disappeared, and he's still nailed by the feet, but he's leaning over and he's embracing the knight kneeling before him. It's interesting because the ideal of knighthood has been romanticized by the Arthurian legends, and in a particular way by these painters of the 19th century, very often took up the themes of knighthood and chivalry and romanticized them. Cardinal Newman talks about how the weapons of our warfare, the true weapons of our warfare, following Saint Paul, when he says that though we are in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh, but rather the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty unto God for the pulling down of strongholds. Cardinal Newman says that the weapons of our warfare are meekness, truth, and righteousness, and that these he also talks about how we have a tendency to think of these grandiose stories of knights imagining ourselves to do great deeds and putting ourselves in that place and sort of living vicariously the hero's life. And sometimes we can get lost in fantasy. We know that a lot of times today, people who, for example, are Trekkies or people who are into Star Wars are sometimes lose the distinction between life and fantasy. The reality becomes blurred. Cardinal Newman and St. Paul are reminding us that the weapons of our warfare are spiritual, and that the real battle is over selfishness. It's self-conquest. It's a matter of conquering our own personal demons, the ones that lead us astray and pull us down and prevent us from being truly generous. And so St. Galbert came to realize that his victory and his greatness, his heroism, would not be found in conquering his temporal enemies, but by conquering himself. And he was given the grace of exercising mercy over an enemy, which is, in reality, one of the things that is most characteristic of a follower of Christ. It's one of those things, where we are not only to forgive our enemies, but we are to do good to them, and to be grateful even to God for the opportunities that we have to suffer for his name. So we can turn to the intercession of St. Galbert today, that we might continue in our own spiritual warfare, not against temporal enemies, but against principalities and powers, that we might realize that our weapons are truth, meekness, and righteousness, and that we have an opportunity to do great things for God, not because our deeds are necessarily in themselves heroic, but because we do them out of love for our Lord and are willing to give up our own will and our own pride and selfishness out of love for him and for the conversion and sanctification of sinners.